Sorry, I'm line dancing. I hear this song, you have to line dance, right, Daryl?
Absolutely. They should give it to Bruce Springsteen. He'd probably do a decent job with
that,
it, too.
That looked more like the gritty, what you were doing.
That's why Jamie's a radio guy.
Definitely.
Two left feet.
Might be accurate on that one.
I'm a Fred Astaire. I don't know about you guys, man.
A double take. I have a soft shoe. Daryl Davis.
Daryl, do you believe that for a second that Locker is Fred Astaire?
Oh, my wife!
Not for a minute, no, but we do know.
I dropped my phone. I'm sorry. Call my wife. Yeah, I have all the coordination in the world. I can't hold a phone. But, yeah, trust me on the dance floor.
Mm-hmm. There is very few reasons why I am married. One of them is my dancing ability.
Okay.
Well, I'm telling you.
Somewhere. Okay. Show us. Video, man. There's video all over the place.
I'll whip her around in the, yeah, like
good band. Open dance floor.
You have no coordination whatsoever.
You have no idea what you're talking about there, Mr. Nye.
Put the phone down. Oh. Locker.
That was good timing. That was comedic timing.
I'm coordinated as he dumps his phone all over the studio and microphone.
Did you break your video screen? No, it's good.
Did I break?
How about the no. How about the computer? It's okay.
The computer's good.
Good.
Computer's good too.
Microphone.
Fingers. Yep. They are tough.
Good,
these all things.
Right. Good for you.
I took out the phone, the screen,
yeah,
and the mic all at once.
And the keyboard.
That was impressive.
Pushing XXXXXX now.
So, Daryl Davis.
Uh-oh. I didn't want to wander into this one. Thanks, guys. I know what's coming. Go ahead.
Why?
I'm thinking Sean Lemon's probably
it's
on the
topic.
It's
the biggest topic of the Canadian Football League.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I knew it was coming. I'm ready for it.
I'm interested in Daryl's take.
Should they have given Sean Lemon a second chance?
Jamie, I've always been a proponent of Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. So I guess if I say no, he should be suspended forever, then I'm a hypocrite, right? Because Pete Rose bet on baseball in games that he was playing on. So I'm saying, I guess you're going to have to do it with Sean Lemon too, because I want to be consistent on it. And you're right. We talked about this in the break. I'm a cynic now. You talk about integrity of sports, that the most important thing is integrity of the game. It's gone well past that. I'm starting to believe that there is no integrity in sports anymore. They've sold their soul to the gambling companies. They all have, as you said, Locker, they all have signs everywhere. They all have crests on their uniforms. Yeah. There's no way they can escape that gambling anymore.
And that's a common sentiment, though.
Yes.
Jamie, like, we got a lot of texts about the...
That's why when you catch these guys, you suspend them for life.
Can you catch them all?
So you're saying that, to Daryl's point, they should be even more severe.
Yeah, to keep the integrity for the fan base. And for the Pete Rose conversation, I said it earlier. Yeah, I am a proponent of Pete Rose going into the Hall of Fame, but I would not have been a proponent for Pete Rose to play or manage again in Major League Baseball.
Hey, what about Sean Lemon? He's got a Hall of Fame career.
And again, he's got over 100 sacks.
Okay. What if he was gambling all the way through that? Well, there are worse people in... There are worse people in Baseball Hall of Fame than Pete Rose, right? I always cite Cap Anson, who was a racist, didn't want blacks playing in Major League Baseball. He's in the Hall of Fame. Who cares, right? Gambling is a lot less of a sin, I think.
There's a lot of hypocrisy in sports.
I think
sports
the integrity of the Hall of Fame, point. I'm sorry to say it. I know you're a Hall of Fame member and a Hall of Fame voter, but I think the integrity of a Hall of Fame is a lot less important than the integrity of the on-field integrity. That is the most important thing.
But that's not the
that
first time I
have to believe in.
It's not the first time I've heard Daryl bring up the hypocrisy of the Hall of Fame, though. Too right?
Like, yeah, it's hypocritical. Yeah. Most halls are, and you can't just like you can't in sports get away from it. You can't have pure integrity on everything, Jamie. I wish it was, but I'm seeing it being taken over by gambling. Right? It's more important to decide who's going to have more sacks than it is who wins the game now because of these betting sites. I don't bet on sports. I just refuse. I do bet on a lot of things, but I don't bet on sports. And I just don't want to because I maybe that's a hypocrisy. My cynicism maybe is taking over again, but I just don't. I'd rather watch it, see what happens. It's entertaining to me. Is it a competition? Yes, it's still a competition. Hopefully, there are people who are not betting against themselves in the game, but I don't know that anymore.
I wonder, too, about the addiction side of it as well.
Okay, right? Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so I wonder if we are loosening up a little bit on that integrity side of it, Jamie, because there is that. And again, I admitted that I agree with you. I'm in the, I don't think I would have let Sean back in. But I think there is an element and a conversation to be had when you're a Stu Johnston, when you sit down with Sean Lemon and his representatives and he admits that he had a problem, or you know what I mean? We don't know what those conversations were like. And that maybe there
okay,
is.
Okay, go get help, Sean, but we're not going to trust you ever again that you're not going to do this again. Sorry, it's the integrity of our sport. But
gambling is an addiction. Drugs can be an addiction. Yep. Alcohol can be an addiction. You give an alcoholic a chance to go into recovery. Why should you not give a gambler a
chance? He gets a chance at recovery. He does now. He can have a chance at recovery. Just but sorry, the integrity. Great.
Okay.
But, find a new job.
But you fail a drug test in the CFL, and then they come back and say, well, you get a second chance at this. So why are you drawing a line between gambling and drugs?
And the drug thing, yeah. See, I wonder, Jamie, if that's where this decision came from.
Are you potentially a manipulation that can have the wins and losses result? Like, come on, guys. What are we doing?
With drugs, you're
what are we doing
essentially
here?
Manipulating the outcome of the game.
You might not be playing at your best.
I think I can't believe you two are giving Sean Lemon such a pass. Like, wow.
Brett Lawther be able to bet on a game when he goes out there for a game-winning field goal. Let's have that. Good job. Let's do this.
No, Jamie,
really healthy for the sanctity of the game. Then attendance is going to be three guys on their gambling apps trying to keep up to see what the result of the game is.
Again, but
you can't do it. You can't have this.
I know
there's cynics like Daryl that say they're probably doing it anyways, but you get caught, you have to hammer that
those
rule.
Guys. But I'm also trying to think about where Stu's mind is or where that decision came from. Because I need, like, I'm having a hard time rationalizing it.
This makes sense. This is the one that makes sense. They can't afford the lawsuit. That's where it might make sense.
You mentioned that earlier, Locker, and I was driving in, and I thought, that might, who knows? We don't know that for sure.
Because lawyers will sit down and they'll look at the wording on stuff.
How much can it cost?
Like, and how many times have you seen an agreement, right? And then all of a sudden, there's a couple of wording, like a couple of paragraphs are changed. That didn't happen by accident. No, a lawyer sat down and they read it and they went, oh, that you're going to get in trouble for that. There's speculation that the CBA, the no dress code thing, is a liability concern for the league. And they said, listen, if we make them dress a certain way walking into the game, we're liable for them while they're in the parking lot. So take that out of the code. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this is the world that we live in. But the NHL had lawyers look at it and go, you can't have a dress code because if they get struck by lightning in the parking lot in the suit and tie you made them wear, we're going to get sued by their lawyers because they were on the job.
All right.
Does
Wheels have a dress code?
He should. Anyways. There's a lot happier times 31 years ago today, Daryl.
From far and wide, oh Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
Greg Bartholomew,
I was
Dennis
there.
Casey Parks.
You were there.
Daryl was there.
Dave Naylor and I sat there giggling up in the press box. Do you believe this? And I didn't have back then we just wrote everything in notebooks, so I was scribbling it down, but Dave Naylor had brought a record, because he worked on CBC Radio at the time, had his recording device out going, this is gold. And oh man, all I can do is write about it. So although it's made so many highlights over the years, that was the Rough Riders were playing in Vegas at the Silver Bowl, way out of town. It was 108 during the day and got a little bit cooler that night, and I just remember the horses that they had on at halftime that Ray Yock, the Riders coach, said, oh my God, it was smelly out there. And the cheerleaders, the fans were yelling at the cheerleaders, cheer louder, you. And they called them bad names. It was a horrible, horrible game. Went into overtime and the Riders lost. Ray Elgar dropped the pass that would have set the CFL record for most catches by a CFL player. And the most infamous thing was the national anthem because, yeah, what was his stage name? Casey Parks. No,
Greg Bartholomew was his stage name.
Okay.
Dennis Parks, right?
Yep.
Right. So, oh, my goodness. Yep. I love that you were there.
31 years. Is that 31 years ago?
1994.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Me and Dave Naylor. Yeah, we followed them down there. And oh, yeah. That was quite a sight. That one. There was nobody in the stands.
I'm so glad you were giggling at it, too.
Memorable moments in CFL and Rough Rider history from 1994 to a smoke delay over the weekend. We get more with a double take with Darrell Davis, including whether he would invite a home run derby to decide a regular season Major League Baseball game after seeing the All-Star game decided by one next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Okay, Darrell, I know this might be a little rapid fire for a double take to wrap up this segment, but how should the CFL handle smoke delays going forward?
The same policy that they have for when games are in progress.
3 hours?
Yeah, 3 hours max.
Yeah, they need a cut.
Yeah. Even afternoon games. Yeah, even for afternoon games. So just 3 hours, and that way everybody knows they can go home, go do something else.
Make it simple.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
All-Star game.
Better Thoughts? Communication, too.
Yeah, that would help.
Yep. So I gave F for Stuart Johnson today on the Lemon thing. I gave him an A-plus for talking about we need clearer communication from what we did on Friday night. The All-Star game, MLB All-Star game, do you like the swing-off to decide an All-Star game?
It's the only sport that has a worthwhile game to All-Star game to watch, right? The others are so bad. A swing off would be okay if Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge hadn't taken off early before the game's over.
Yeah, what was that?
They do that. They leave early just to get out of town, right? Mickey Mantle said he used to do it all the time, but Mickey was going to drink somewhere, I think. is the secret. So true. I don't like the idea. The All-Star game, yeah. I was engaged by the All-Star game. It was engrossing.
Good.
Yeah, it was really entertaining and fun, and they all kept in the right spirit and tried hard. No, not for regular season games, Jamie.
12th inning, just to bring out the bats.
I'm still cool with it. I didn't think I'd like the Ghost Runner. It's better than I thought for regular season stuff, so I'm okay with that.
Robo-umps?
I like the quicker calls. It's pretty quick.
I didn't mind it. I like it.
It's coming. Should they do robot umps like every ball and strike or challenge system?
As much as I hate video reviews, that would be the only time I would say balls and strikes are just cut and dry. Yes, use video on all of them. It takes away all the arguing.
I don't know why. I like the challenge part of it, but you got to limit them per inning, I think.
They do. They've got good limits on it. It worked out fine. It was entertaining, too.
Scottie Scheffler yesterday saying, what does it really matter if you win? Refreshing or confusing?
Oh, it's confusing, but you know what? If you're just playing to be the best golfer in the world, you don't have much of a life, and what happiness would you get out of it? So good for him. He's got things in perspective, and that's maybe why he's such a great golfer.
All righty. And who's going to win the Open Championship?
Oh, boy. I used to like Rory McIlroy till he started stiffing the media, so...
He's off. Here's something going on.
There's something going weird there.
He's into stoicism. I think he's having some personal issues.
Yeah.
Like, I've known a couple of guys that jump into that world. And
I think it's going to be Scotty because he says it doesn't matter if he wins or loses. So I think he's going to win.
Yeah, and that's why he does, right? Because he's not standing over a putt thinking, oh, my life is going to crumble if I miss it. How about, you know who deserves it? Tommy Fleetwood. That's who I want.
Oh, Tommy Fleetwood.
He's been close a couple times.
What about a Canadian?
That's a good
Corey.
Corey Connors, too. I'll take either one of those
guys. I'll take a Corey Connors. I like Fleetwood, though.
We'll have Bob Weeks' prediction coming up here on the Green Zone on a preview of the Open Championship. Darrell, I'll see you Saturday.
All right.
They're in a dome, so it's pretty safe that there's not going to be a delay.
Best stadium in the country, I think.
Oh. Quickly, should the Riders be panicking?
No. They're okay. It's just, you have to wonder, they hit one of these skids, Locker, and they might go on a
What did
Britton
Gray say?
Britton always knows when they're about to go on a skid, so we'll ask Britton if they should be panicking.
They might lose to BC, but then they have the Elks. Come on, they're going to beat up the Elks.
Don't
at
they
home.
Look bad, Edmonton? Again, sheepers. Oh, well.
Friends and family only to Elk games going forward, it looks like. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Riders set to take on the BC Lions on Saturday. The CFL week kicks off tomorrow. Davis Alexander back for the Montreal Alouettes against the Toronto Argonauts. Then you got the Bombers and the Stampeders on Friday. And, of course, it wraps up Sunday with the Tiger Cats and the Ottawa Red Blacks. Also tomorrow, the Open Championship, or maybe later today, in a couple hours, they'll start teeing things off for the Open Championship, Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. Bob Weeks, TSN golf analyst from Golf Talk Canada, as well with a preview. But we do want to start off with the Scotty Scheffler comments from yesterday, where it's really, who cares if you win? Bob, how did you assess the diatribe that we heard from Scotty Scheffler yesterday?
I thought it was brilliant, actually, and I think it's something that a lot of other athletes, not just golfers, probably think or probably experience if they get to a level where they win things, but don't necessarily present it openly like Scotty Scheffler did. You know, you climb. He's worked hard. He said that. He's worked hard his entire career. He's played golf since he was whatever age, and his whole, full journey was to try and become the number one player in the world, to win major championships, to win golf tournaments. But I think he found out, as a lot of athletes do, or at least a lot of golfers that I've talked to, is, once you win them, and once you've got that, well, okay, that's how much drive do you have to go on to the next one? Well, probably a little bit when you get there. But I think there's you, as you get a little bit older, you find out that there's more to the world than just winning golf tournaments. And I've heard that from so many golfers who've been young players who've come up, they get married, they have children, and that suddenly takes their focus away from just being all encompassing about golf. And I think that's where Scotty Scheffler was trying to go, is to say, it's great to win. I love it. I love the celebration. I work hard at it, but I don't necessarily think it's the be-all and the end-all of what my life is going to be. And you can, as I say, you can go through and look at people who won the Super Bowl, the Stanley Cup, the World Series. There's a lot of those guys in that same thing. Now, the Stanley Cup, you can look at those Florida Panthers who've been celebrating for a couple of weeks, so maybe it lasts longer.
They're still going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I do think that what he is saying is really something that a lot of athletes go through and a lot of athletes experience. Not all of them. But I do really think that he's not alone. And, Mackenzie Hughes was a guy who said today, he said he related to that completely. He understood that because you do. It's your job to do it. Like you and I, we both have jobs. And, we're not going to be living our jobs for the rest of our life. And it's a different, maybe it's not an apples to oranges comparison. But you have other things in the world. And Scotty Scheffler is a man of faith. He's a guy who's just recently had a baby. So, there are other things that I think he's found that are equally as important as a part of life as his golf is.
Maybe it's golf. That there's, like as Scotty said yesterday, there's a tournament next week. Like there's not like the Stanley Cup where you have the summer off to go drink with your buddies and celebrate. It's like, oh, back on the plane and we're teeing off what, practice round tomorrow, even though you're a major champion. Is that what, because you said you've had other golfers talk to you about kind of Scheffler's mindset.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there is something to that. I do think it goes in other sports, but maybe in different ways and different lengths. But I do think you're right that the PGA Tour is the longest running season in the year. It basically never ends, and you don't have to tell me that because I don't have much of a vacation. I'm very envious of all these hockey reporters who are now having the rest of the summer off. But that aside, there is always another tournament. There is always another step. But look at what happened to Rory after Rory won the Grand Slam this year, the career Grand Slam, by winning the Masters, and he kind of fell out of sorts. There was a lot of a different side of Rory.
Is there more there, Bob? Sorry to jump in, but is there more going on there? Like I just in his personal life and whatnot, he seems to be going through something, right? Like Rory.
Yeah,
and not that Scotty isn't, but.
Yep. No, I agree. I think there is something there, but I also think that he's admitted that he's been a bit lost. It may have something more to do with stuff going on off the course than on the course. But I do think that he was sort of, okay, what's next? Looking for that next charge, looking for something to get his golf juices flowing again. Now, this week might do it, being playing at home in Northern Ireland and a course that he once set the course record on. So there's a little bit different to that. But there's a lot of guys that I know that I've talked to over the years who've said the same sort of thing as Scotty Scheffler had, maybe not quite to as wide an audience, and maybe they weren't all quite number one in the world when they said it, but I think you're right. There is something to do with the schedule.
Well, I think that's part of the reason why it triggered me. I think maybe he should take some time off if he's at that point, and that's not a problem. That should be available to anybody. And then when he comes back, just before he comes back, I think he should go for a golf trip with Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, and and Tiger. Like, put him on a course with Tiger. Grab a couple of beers and just wander around the course and just hear them talk about their sports and not being involved to the level that he is right now. Anyway,
yeah,
that's my thought on it.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. I just know that having talked to Scotty a lot over the years, you know, well, over the last few years since he's sort of taken a rise up, it's there's a sense there that I think he may have overstated somewhat, but I think, you know, there's more to life than golf is all I'm saying. And I think there's more to life than for any athlete, whether they, some don't see that, some don't play that, some live in, you know, their entire life. But I've seen the other side of it too, where golfers who are not successful, who have put their entire life into it, and, you know, they kind of crash and burn, and then you got to restart your life. So I think what Scotty said there is important for other athletes to consider, to think about. They may have already been experiencing it, like some of the ones I mentioned, but it was certainly a very open and very very dramatic soliloquy, I guess we'll call it, at a press conference. I haven't seen something like that before, that's for sure.
Well, let's get into the Open Championship teeing off in a couple hours, I guess, at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. You talked about Rory's struggles. This would be like his home course-ish. But the way he's playing, you kind of like throw him down the list a little on odds to win. Or is he still got to be a favorite this week?
Yeah, he's number two on the favorite right now. If you're looking at the, you know, behind Scottie Scheffler, which is a little bit startling because Scottie Scheffler has not had a good record on playing links courses. But Rory, I think, is a little bit more charged up now. I think he took a couple of weeks off, which he said was very good. Kind of got away from everything. And he's obviously played this golf course very well when he was 16. I think he shot 61. He did not play it very well the last time the Open was here, but he's a more mature golfer. I think he's kind of understanding what's going on as he steps onto the first tee. You know, he knows that the entire country is rooting for him. He's been in that boat before. But I think his game coming off that tie for second last week is charged up a little bit. So I like the way he's playing. I especially like the way he's putting. And, you know, he's always been pretty good driver of the golf ball. You don't take your driver out on every hole here as you do at most other courses. But I think there's a lot to like about what Rory's got. And I think most of what I like is between the ears right now.
Bob, just out of curiosity, is there a quick way of explaining to someone that might not know the real intricacies of golf, the difference between, say, a Royal Portrush and a Lynx, a traditional Lynx course, which it isn't 100% Lynx, but a traditional Lynx course, and say what the PGA Tour deals with normally from week to week?
Sure. So, I mean, normally in the PGA Tour, they have a lot of different kind of golf courses. Obviously, you can play everything from Pebble Beach to Augusta to TPC Toronto, where we had the RBC Canadian Open this year, and there's different styles. They're mostly what we would call parkland courses. So they weave between trees, around trees, they curve left, they curve right, they go up, they go down, and some of them are beside the water, but not a lot of them, not always. If you go to a traditional Lynx course, Lynx actually means the land that it comes between the farmland and the ocean. When these courses were built way back in the, whatever, 1600s, it was basically land that was not farmable. It was sandy soil. You couldn't grow anything. So they said, well, what are you going to do this land? Well, let's put a golf course on it.
I didn't know that.
That's where the term Lynx comes from. The majority of them are as flat as pancakes, and they go out, and then they come back in. So it's a very narrow kind of a golf course. So you're out into the wind, and you come home, and the next nine holes you're maybe playing with the wind. Royal Portrush is a little bit of a mixture of both. It's mostly a Lynx course. It's located right beside the water, and it plays, you know, with fescue and things, but it is a lot more up and down. There are false fronts on the greens, which you don't see on traditional Lynx golf courses, meaning if you're not all the way onto the green, it'll roll back down. There's a lot of hills and ups and downs, and there's a lot of blind shots on this golf course. Maybe eight or nine of the holes, you're going to be hitting a blind shot. So that's a little untraditional as well. So it's a mostly links course, but it's a little devious in parts that are not links-ish.
Rain and wind tomorrow. Yeah. Rain and a bit of wind Friday into – so first day might be a lot more British
Irish
Open than maybe later in the week, but it could be a wet one. But we're all waiting for a Canadian to win a major golf tournament. Who do you like out of the four this week?
You know, I think I'm going to go with Mackenzie Hughes, even though he's not playing the best. Mick Taylor played really well last week at the Scottish Open, which was another sort of not quite links-ish course. Corey Connor is playing the best throughout the entire year. He's very, very talented golfer. Taylor Pendrith hits the ball a mile and could be up there. So I could make you a case right now for any one of the four. But for some reason, I just like the way Mackenzie Hughes has played links in the past. He's got the record for the best finish by a Canadian at the Open Championship, a tie for sixth. But I think he's a great putter, and I think if he's got his game off the tee going, then he could be the guy to look for.
That is Bob Weeks with a preview of the Open Championship, the British Open. Northern Ireland is where it's being played. Royal Portrush, the last time it was there. Shane Lowry, a Northern Irishman himself,
2019,
won the championship. Or I guess he's an Irishman. Rory McIlroy.
I think he's from Northern Ireland as well. Like so that neck of the woods as well. I don't know if that's his home course, though.
We'll see if the Irishman, Lowry or McIlroy, win the Open Championship. Coming up next, a terrible story out of the CFL on why the top offensive lineman in the league is not available to the Argos. Champs and Chumps next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, one champ, one chump. The chump goes to the whoever it was who hit Ryan Hunter on his scooter. Ryan Hunter, top offensive lineman of the Canadian Football League last year, was seen in a sling. And I actually remember seeing the photo, and I looked at it and went, he looks beat up. Because it was during the bye week when he got injured. He got injured when someone hit him on his scooter. Shoulder injury, other injuries, sideline him for 6 to 8 weeks. You have a scooter,
I have a scooter, and they are...
You've told me you've come close a few times.
Yes.
With some drivers who aren't very considerate.
Well, and I will say this, though, that I... Those scooters are not... They're not a safe thing. I don't know. Like, I have one, but I don't know if they should be allowed on the roads, if I'm being honest.
I have one, but I shouldn't be on it.
I can get to 45 clicks on mine.
Just,
you're flying.
You don't have to be flying, but also be considerate of those people on them and try not to hit them with a vehicle. Sidney Crosby is our champ. Paul DeFazio has been named the new head equipment manager with the Columbus Blue Jackets. One of his references from Sidney Crosby, who personally called Blue Jackets executive Rick Nash.
Pretty cool, actually.
Saying, hey, DeFazio needs a job. He's a good one. You should hire him. So the Blue Jackets did.
Is that the best reference in the world?
In hockey? It's got to be.
That is, yeah.
Sid the Kid's on the phone? You should hire this guy. He's really good.
Sid's,
and this is the stuff
Sid's
he
calling
does.
About this guy, Paul?
Sidney Crosby does so many things quietly.
Yeah.
Like Bob Cole, when he retired,
this got out
randomly
on a...
got a package from Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
Randomly.
This just, got out on a podcast, too. Somebody was talking about it.
So, yeah. Sidney Crosby, he's usually a champ.